I'm very excited about today for a very odd reason. It's the first day I managed to put Ben's clothes on correctly, which for those who have kids, and if you're a man like me, putting on his trousers is one thing, but ensuring that the top matches the bottom doesn't always go correctly. So he might go to creche with pink pair of trousers and a blue top, and I'll think it's fine, but often it's not. But today's the first day I got it correct. So, you know, I just like to glory in these small little victories I have in life. But aside from putting my children's clothes on this morning correctly, this morning just Rob asked me to finish the Lord's Prayer and to talk about verse 13 of the Lord's Prayer. And it's, I'm going to read it to you this morning. Well, we'll read from the beginning, if that's okay. And it says, just to remind you, we're continuing, hopefully finishing the series today about the Lord's Prayer. And it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So this morning I want to talk to you, verse 13. And it says, I lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So this morning I want to talk about temptations and trials. I know, don't get overexcited about the idea. But it's something I hope to just share a little bit about my own life. And I just have some thoughts around this. It's funny, I'm a real teacher at heart, and so I like when you take one verse, it's funny how God can just show you so many things just in one little verse, just in two lines. And those two lines this morning are, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one or from evil. So let's just start. This text that I read to you this morning, verse 13, brings us to the end of the Lord's Prayer. It is a passage that teaches us not only about prayer, but about Christian living. It is one of those passages in the New Testament that makes it so clear that praying and living are two sides of the same coin. The word temptation is almost always used in a negative sense. Would you agree? That makes it difficult when you read James chapter 1, verse 13, which says, For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And the verse continues, But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. But my point in that verse says, For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. This is a really true verse, and it's in that verse is in James chapter 1, verse 13. But the Bible also says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So one verse is telling us, For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And another verse in the Bible is saying, But Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? And the difference, and just a side note, it's not one of my main points this morning, the difference is that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. That even in temptations, that God was still in control of that situation. So why do we pray, as we read this morning, and lead us not in temptation when God does not tempt anyone? Are you with me? Are you confused? So let me say it again. James chapter 1 verse 13 says, For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That verse is great. But the Bible also says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Are you with me? So why do we pray this morning and lead us not in temptation when God does not tempt anyone. That's the confusing part. You all look very confused. This morning, I want to look at these verses and pull out some points that I found to be just some points that I wanted to share with you this morning. Did you know in the Greek word temptation also means trial or testing? Lead us not in temptation, or in different translations it says, lead us not into a time of trial, but deliver us from the evil one or from evil. While it's perfectly right to pray and correct to pray, Lord, lead us not in temptation, it's important to also understand that temptations, trials, and tests in life are not necessarily wrong or bad things. In fact, when you look at Jesus' life, his whole life is characterized by what? Trials, temptations, and tests. If you read the Gospels, his whole life is characterized by trials, temptations, and testings. So how many people this morning have been through a trial? In the Bible, there's this recurring theme of childbirth. And, you know, for those of you who have children, obviously going through child, when you're giving birth to your child, it's painful, isn't it? All the women say yes. But there's something incredible when that child is born, isn't there? There's this incredible experience of overjoy when your child is eventually born. And for me as the dad, when Mags gave birth to Ben and Sam, although the experience of childbirth was traumatic, when the two boys were born, the experience of joy, the overwhelming experience of joy of suddenly seeing most recently Sam and holding him in your hands, that experience as a dad was, there's nothing like it for me. And so this theme of childbirth, the pains of giving birth are great, but out of those pains comes new life and new hope. Going through trials can be painful, but hope, maturity, and new life can often make it worthwhile. God asks us, and those who've walked with the Lord a long time know that trials are inevitable. We go through them every day of our lives. But there's a reason why we go through trials. Because at the end of it, of a trial, there's an experience of hope and peace and a new life that makes it all very much worthwhile. In James chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you have trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Doesn't it? How many people know this verse? Everyone. You know what's the hardest thing is to go through a trial and read these verses, isn't it? If we're all very honest. Because these verses I know, you're all going to know these verses. I've known them since I was 2. Okay? But regardless of the trial I've been through, it makes it even sometimes more difficult to read verses like this. Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Scripture also tells us that all things work out to good to them that love God. One of my trials most recently was probably a few years ago. Mags and I got married, and it was and as a man, I suppose I'm saying this from as a man's point of view, I was unemployed for a long time. How many people have been unemployed for a while? And I went to several interviews, and I got those interviews, but I was quickly let go 2 or 3 months afterwards. So I got the interview, I got the job, and then I was let go soon after I got the job. How many people have ever been let go from a job? So for me, it's happened during that time in my life. It happened to me 4 times. I had 4 interviews, got accepted, and then 2 months later, I was let go. And the experience of being let go was what I didn't like. And you know when you're let go from a job, they'd like painted it in a really nice way, but in reality, it wasn't nice. And for me, that was a real testing and trying time. It tested my faith, it tested my ability to trust God, and it tested a lot of things. And so I had been for several interviews, got the jobs, but within 2 months had been let go. And there's one particular experience. I remember I was out in Strathen near the K Club, and I just stopped in the car, and I literally couldn't keep going. I was like, God, either you got to bring a job that I'll enjoy, or I'm just going to get more depressed. And it was a period in my life that I probably was depressed because of this constant getting a job and then being let go, getting a job and then being let go, getting a job and then being let go. And that was a real trying period for me. I believe God allows us to go through trials because God is in the business of developing spiritual maturity and character in us. And I was thinking, I was up with my mum yesterday, and my mum has been walking with the Lord since the year dot. And she still goes through trials, regardless of her age and her experience with God and her understanding of God. And it's something that as Christians, we will always go through despite it. Are you with me? There's another verse that says this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. But says, and my favorite verse, probably one of the favorite verses in the Bible, it says in Romans 5, 3 to 5, it says, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. Amen. Romans chapter 5. And hope does not. So in the business, so while we're going through trials, God is in the business of what? Producing maturity, spiritual maturity and character in our lives. And that's not even depending on how long you're walking with the Lord or even how old you are. Because I've met some 18-year-olds that have had more maturity in God than some people who are 45 years old. Okay? But trials are inevitable, are a fact in life, and they're a fact when we walk with the Lord. And as he's in the business of producing perseverance and character in us, and he's producing hope in us, and as we're coming closer to God and becoming more like hope, him, he reminds us that hope does not, Jesus, that hope does not disappoint us or shame us in another verse. But God's love for us has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. For me personally, how I respond to a trial is probably one of the more difficult things. When you're going through a trial, the most difficult thing for me was accepting that trial. Some of you know a few years ago, it's a while now, that I had a transplant. And I remember the doctor telling me, I remember being in the hospital, and the news, when he was talking to me, he said, Andrew, you know, I've only ever had one kidney. And the idea that my other kidney would eventually die, in my head kind of said, well, it won't be till I'm 90, okay? But I remember going in for a normal checkup into St. Vincent's, and suddenly there was one doctor there, and then there was 2 doctors, and there was 3 doctors, and there was 4 doctors, and I was like, oh my God, why is there so many doctors in one little room all fussing about me? And the reality is that they said, oh, Andrew, your other kidney now will have to be taken out. So I had a kidney transplant. And while they're normal as eating toast nowadays, transplants, it's still difficult to accept it, whether it be a kidney, a heart, a head, a lung, what else they do in transplants today, I don't know. But I remember speaking to, when I was in Newbridge, and Mags and I were in Newbridge, and I was chatting to a guy called PJ. But the hardest thing was to accept the fact that during this period of my life, whether that be 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, that I would have to be in hospital every day. That was the hardest thing. So for me, it was accepting the trial or the difficult period that I was going to go into. And as a, it's for men and women, but accepting something, a period that's going to be difficult, is really difficult. I can honestly say this, that the operation, the needles and the wipes and the all the stuff that comes with going to hospital, that was easy. But accepting the fact that I would have to be on a dialysis machine and going into hospital every day, that was the most difficult thing. So winning the war up here in my mind was the most difficult thing. I don't mind needles being poked in me. You can poke me all you want. But accepting it in my mind was probably one of the more difficult things I've ever had to do in my life. And as a man, it's particularly difficult sometimes because we don't like to accept failure. And I suppose it's been the man inside me just says, no, why is this happening to me? Why should I accept this? And so accepting it was the hardest thing. While accepting it, it took me a few years, and not weeks or months, but years, to remind myself of God's grace, His love, God's purpose for my life, choosing to focus my eyes on Him again, and then committing to getting through this trial. So there's trials in our lives, and there's the accepting of it. And then for me, it was the gradually reminding myself of God's love for my life, His grace in my life. But it was also a commitment to say, God, I will get through this. Are you with me? Have you ever been in a trial and said, I will get through this, no matter what? Have you ever said that to yourself? I will get through this, whether it be, for me, it was my health, whether it's a mortgage problem, a housing problem, relationship problems. Have you ever just gone and said to yourself in the mirror, I will get through this? And it was a commitment I made to say, I will get through this. I believe God allows us to go through trials in our lives for another reason. First of all, I shared with you to build maturity in our lives, to build perseverance and hope. But second reason why God allows us to go through trials, it says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4 to 7, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those, I'll read it like this, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in our sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. The other reason why we go through trials is that we can comfort those with us who are beside us. You with me? How many of you ever shared your trial with another person? I can guarantee I'm the kind of guy that will say, no way. What I talked about my kidneys there, that's probably the most you're going to get out of it. Or my, you know, when I was unemployed, because I'm a man and I'm stubborn. But that verse says, and it sums it up in the end, it says, and our hope for you is firm, Paul is saying, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. By me sharing my, I love this idea, because it reminds me of social media for some reason, the sharing button. As I share with you my trials, I can share in your comfort, can't I? I can share in your encouragement. So if I'm with Doug and we're having a coffee after church, I can share with Doug about my trials. But But Doug in turns can, I know Doug's been through some hard times, but he can share his encouragement to me. And there's a responsibility in us as Christians, and we need to put aside our stubbornness, especially as men, to be able to share our tough times with each other so that I can share in your experience and your hope and your good times and your encouragement. Does that make sense? So if there's a great verse that says in the Bible that I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. Doug is my brother in Christ. You're my brothers and sisters. So some way I have a responsibility towards you. That verse is kind of linked. I am my brother's keeper. In a way, I'm your keeper and you're my keeper. That I have a responsibility to you. And so what that verse that I read in Corinthians is saying, that if I can share with my trials with you, you in turn can share your experiences with me, your good times with me. And what you're doing is encouraging me while are you with me this morning? And that's something I think we need to put more into practice, to share our trials and our comforts and our experience with each other. The second word I suppose I want to share with you this morning is temptations. Temptations reminds me of Sunday school for some reason. And I used to get a smarty in Sunday school. And we used to go through this word temptation. I don't know. It was a weird kind of Sunday school. But anyway. Temptation means, the word temptation. It's a real old word, isn't it? Temptation. Oh, shouldn't eat that ice cream. Temptation means the desire to do something, especially something that's wrong or unwise. A guy called J.I. Packer says, temptation is not a sin. A trial is not a sin. Trials are there to what? Produce perseverance in us, aren't they? J.I. Packer says, temptation is not a sin. So when does temptation become a sin? J.I. Packer says, for Christ was tempted as we are, yet remained sinless. Christ had the same temptations that we go through in life. And that's something to remember. That when Jesus walked on the world, walked this earth, he had the same temptations. And, you know, you think of when the devil tempted him in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's just two examples of when Jesus was tempted. And as J.I. Packer says, for Christ was tempted as we are, yet remained sinless. Temptation becomes a sin only when, and as the suggestion of evil, is accepted and yielded to. Are you with me? So when does temptation become a sin, especially if that temptation is wrong, is when we yield to it and we give in to it. Are you with me? In our personal lives, we also have a responsibility towards wrong temptations, don't we? We should not be looking for temptation, nor should we allow sin to go unchecked in our lives. So temptation is not necessarily a sin. It's only a sin when we yield to something that's wrong. Are you with me? Flying through my notes for some reason. But anyway. But the good news is this. And the next line is what? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's the good news, isn't it? Psalm 141 verse 4 says, do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds. Let me read this again because there's a really great point in this. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat. This is a difficult word. Do not let me eat their delicies. So the word is spelled delicies. delicacies. Very good. So do not let me eat their delicacies. I did that on purpose, folks. You know that. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. But do not let me eat their delicacies. What does the word delicacy mean? It means fineness or exquisiteness. No matter how good something bad tastes, things that are wrong generally have a good feeling to them, don't they? Or a nice taste to them. No matter how good something bad tastes, it's important to remember this morning that in all things, God is our deliverer. Do not let my heart, God. If you struggle with temptations, this is a good verse to know off by heart. Do not let my heart, Lord, be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. The word delicacies is referring to things that are wrong there. And so often, something that is wrong can taste so good, can't it? No matter how good something bad tastes, it's important to remember this morning that in all things, God is our deliverer. There's a proverb that says, a man's steps are from the Lord. A man's steps are from the Lord. My life, including your life, is full of choices, isn't it? Between belief or unbelief, between obedience or disobedience. The reality is, there's no moment in my life that I'm not a moment away from temptation. As soon as I get the train to work every morning, there's no moment goes past in my life where there's temptation not always around me. And that's reality in life, isn't it? And I have the choice every day to give in to some of those things or not. Temptations are all around us. That is life, and that is a fact. Those two lines, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Those two lines do not teach us to pray against these things, i.e. disbelief or choices or unbelief or obedience. We're not trying to pray against those things, but on reflection, allows me to recognize my own weaknesses as a human being and the danger of sin. But at the same time, know that I have a Savior who is strong enough to deliver me from whatever I go through. We all have choices every day. As soon as you go to work, as soon as I get on the train or the dart or get in the car, I have choices, whether they be of unbelief or unbelief or belief, or disbelief or disobedience or obedience, or whether I accept this or I yield to this temptation or I don't. But these two lines, on reflection for me, remind me of my weaknesses and the danger of sin. But at the same time, reminds me that I have a Savior who is strong enough to deliver me from my temptation. Are you with me this morning? There's a gentleman. There's always a gentleman. And he's a theologian. I like theologians. But his name is Origen Amadeus. He's a Greek scholar. And this is really good. And he says this: the Holy Spirit helps us discern the difference between trials that are often needed in our own spiritual walk with the Lord, are you with me? And temptations, which often lead to death, as we read. We also discern between being tempted and consenting to temptation, realizing that some things seem desirable, but the fruit of those things lead to trouble and can often lead to death. There is certain usefulness to temptation in our lives because we discover our evil inclinations. Did you get that? You want me to read again? It says, the Holy Spirit helps us discern the difference between trials and temptations. We also discern between being tempted and consenting to that temptation, realizing that some things seem desirable, but the fruit of these things lead to trouble. There is a certain usefulness to temptation in our lives, because it also, in it, we discover our evil inclinations. Those things that I know in my life that I should probably stay away from. There are things I knew when I started dating Mags, and even before that, there were certain things I knew I needed to stay away from. Girls. Not in a bad sense, but if I wanted to get married and be a husband, be a father, I knew in my life that I needed to be careful in that area. Now, I wasn't. But when I got serious about a relationship, I knew that was my inclination, that temptation, that I knew if I yielded to it, I could get in trouble in that area. Are you with me? I think every man knows this feeling. And so I had to recognize it and decision not to fall for it. Just like Jesus' life was characterized by temptation, trials, and testings, so our life will be too. If this morning you're going through a trial or on the brink of giving into something that is wrong, a temptation, don't be surprised by the fact that you are. If you made a decision to follow God, don't be surprised by the fact that you will go through trials or you will be tempted in something that's wrong. And there's something good that can come out of that. Because in some way you're doing, in a weird way, you're kind of doing what's right. If I'm trying to follow Christ in my walk with the Lord, and I'm going through a trial or a temptation, the chances are you're doing something right, because to follow God is difficult. And the fact that trials and temptations come our way can often mean that the devil is trying to distract us. Are you with me? So don't look as your temptation or your trial as, oh my God, get me out of here. Realize that you're probably doing something right in life. If you're going through a hard time at the moment, and you're a Christian and you're following God, but you're going through a trial or you're going through something that's tempting you, realize the fact that you're probably doing something good, is that you've made a decision to follow Christ. And don't be surprised by a trial or something that's tempted you. But realize that you have a Savior that can deliver you this morning from whatever you go through. That if you're going through a trial at the moment, whether that be with, I know a number of people that are going through trials in terms of mortgages and houses and courts, God will get you through it. If you're being tempted, or if you have an inclination to something that is wrong, realize this morning that you're not necessarily doing something, chances are you're not doing something necessarily wrong, but know that God can deliver you in whatever that temptation might be. Are you with me? And I hope by me sharing that with you, you will get some kind of comfort out of it. Are you with me? That when you leave this building, you'll go, okay, I'm in a trial, I'm in a temptation, but God is still in control. Are you with me? My favorite way these verses are read, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those two lines, my favorite, I suppose, translation of those two lines is in the New Living Translation. Have you ever read the New Living Translation? And in the New Living Translation, those lines are read like this. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Will I say it again? And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. God, this morning, don't let me give in to that thing that's pulling me away from you. God, if I'm going through a trial, help me to stay focused on you. But know that the good news this morning is, and always is, and for the rest of your life will always be, that God is in the business of delivering you and helping you through your situation. Now, do we have a responsibility in that? Yes. We have a responsibility then to share my struggles with you and you with me, so that you can share in my encouragement and I can share in yours. Because I would say being a Christian nowadays is probably one of the more difficult things to do. If you look at what's happening in the world with politics and what's happening all around the world, to follow Christ is difficult. But I can only do it without the help of you and you the help of me. Why? Because I am my brother's keeper. Because I have a certain responsibility to you and you to me and to the person next to you and the guys who are in, you know, wherever your home. You have a responsibility to that brother who's in Christ with you. Are you with me? And then we read at the end. You'll be glad I've said the word end. I'm not, because then realize, oh, that still says 12:30, folks. I don't know how many times that's happened to me. Anyway, and the end of the Lord's Prayer leads like this. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And what did we sing this morning? Because this comes right out of that verse. It says, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let heaven come. We finished this morning. The chorus of that song is the same translation. I'm sure Rob had something to do with it. As in the Our Father, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever, and amen. And when we sing that chorus, and we say that verse, we're declaring that God's ways are better than ours, and that yours is the kingdom, you have the power, forever and ever, amen. You with me? I've asked Malachi just to play a song. I know it sounds cliche. So whatever comes on, it could be anything. And I want us to, I'm not a person that likes to share about trials, mainly because I'm a stubborn bloke, or temptations that I've had been through. But know this morning that God will help you not to yield to those temptations, but in every trial and temptation, God is big enough to deliver us from it. And everyone in this room have been through a difficult time or are going through a difficult time. And I hope this morning you're encouraged by me sharing that God will deliver you, that God is still in control. Are you with me?